Then in 2001, Kayla Reeb, a 14-year-old working at a haunted attraction, died after switching places with a new skeleton hanging from a tree. The audience, horrifically enough, thought he was acting as he struggled with the rope around his neck.
Ooh.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. Moral of the tale, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Really don't do that.
Just don't be stupid, bro.
Oh, yeah. More bad can come from it than good. Like, yes, it looks cool, but you go and die.
It doesn't even look, like, I don't understand the point of it. It doesn't look cool. No. All
right. How about the next one? Ooh, next and last one, and then I have a really creepy story I want
to
tell.
I'm so excited for you guys to hear it.
Cool. So, legend. There's a music hall in Kentucky that is so haunted that there's a sign hanging above the entrance that acts as a waiver warning patrons that the establishment is not responsible for any harm that may come to them from ghostly activities.
This is like the epitome of the thing you don't even look at but sign for like everything.
It's like the iPhone thing.
Right.
The terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Read it at this music hall. But a terrifying urban legend sits at the heart of this ghostly music hall. Before it was a music hall, the building served as a slaughterhouse in the mid-19th century.
Oh, God.
Sitting in the hall today is the remnants of this literally bloody history in the form of a sealed-up well in the basement. It's even claimed to still be stained with that blood. The legend goes on to say the well was a gathering place for Satanists who used it in a ritual execution of a pregnant woman who was beheaded and her head was put in the well.
Awful.
As a sacrifice to the dark entities the occultists worshipped. Awful. Jayshna, please tell me there's no truth to this.
Well, I unfortunately cannot do that.
Great.
There is some truth to the legend.
All right.
In 1896, 22-year-old Pearl Bryan's body was found decapitated on the property. Pregnant at the time of her death, her boyfriend Scott Jackson and his friend Alonzo Walling, after Pearl died, they removed her head with the hopes of throwing the police off the scent. But both men were caught and later executed for their crime. Good. Today, visitors to the music club say the sealed well is a portal to the underworld. Some even claim to hear the sounds of deep growling coming from its depths.
Ooh. Yeah, definitely not going there.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Maybe be a cool music hall now, but you're not going to catch me at any other shows.
That's awful. Truly, I think that's the worst thing we've done today. That's so awful. How do you hurt a pregnant woman? I don't understand.
Ugh.
Anyway.
You ready for more things that can
happen? I am so ready, Abby. Please take over and tell us about Robert the doll.
I'm so excited. I have a real soft spot for this story. I don't know
soft spot? That's the wrong word.
I love this story, Jayshna. It's so cool. It's so interesting.
Okay.
You haven't heard it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Although Robert's origins are disputed, as this is one of those stories that gets passed around from family member to family member within the state, it's generally thought that Robert was given as a present from the boy's grandfather following a trip to Germany. Regardless of how he came by it, Robert the doll was given to a boy who went by Gene after his middle name, and he was the one given the doll. He instantly fell in love with it and took him absolutely everywhere, and even dressed him in his own clothes, which were a sailor suit he'd once worn as a baby.
This is cute so far, so...
Oh, yeah, trust me, it's cute. So, and if you're wondering where the doll got his name, that's from Eugene, which is the boy who owned him. That's right, Gene's full name is Robert Eugene Otto. And soon the doll ended up with the name Robert, while Otto was simply referred to by his middle name, Gene. So it's really cute, right? You named it after yourself.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Another story about Robert the doll and his origins described the Otto family's mistreatment of their servants and maids. The family lived in a large mansion house that still stands today. It's at the corner of Simonton and Eaton in Key West. The size of the house meant...
Key West, Florida?
Yes.
That's scary.
Oh, just the place where it is scary. The size of the house meant that the family needed, quote, help. One maid was apparently caught using voodoo and was quickly fired, but before she left, she gave Robert to Jean. But Robert was cursed. She'd used some of the voodoo that she'd been fired for on the doll to bring fear and discomfort to the family. Hey, Jason, look at the picture of Robert.
I don't want to.
I put a picture of Robert on this.
I don't want to.
Just let him stare at you while I read this to you.
No.
Robert the doll is well known for being more than a little spooky, but in the beginning, things seemed a little more innocent. Like any other childhood friendship between a boy and his toy, Gene took Robert everywhere with him, and even thought Robert the doll was probably a little bit large and unwieldy for a boy his age. Gene was thought to be around 8 when given Robert, and Robert stands at around 3 feet tall.
Whoa!
That's a huge doll,
right?
That
is a huge huge doll. 3 feet?
3 feet. That is 5 feet.
That is taller than... That's, I think, 2 feet shorter than me. A kid becomes 3 feet when they, like, are in, like, second grade or something like that.
Yeah.
So you'd be 8. I guess my brother's 3 feet and he's 8, so I guess that makes sense. So they'd but be it's about literally the size of him.
It's the size of him. So he was never seen without his beady-eyed companion in tow. Jean was often heard whispering to Robert, which was entirely normal, because when you were little, did you talk to your toys?
Definitely.
I talked to my toys all the time. A lot of imaginary friends. I did, too. So it was only when a deep voice was heard answering back to Jean that things started to get a little strange. The doll gets stranger and stranger as the years go on. Robert was said to have somewhat of a hold over Jean, and loud, violent commotions could be heard coming from Jean's bedroom on almost a nightly basis. Furniture could be often found overturned, toys of Jean's were often found ripped apart, and when the Otto family entered his room, he was often found huddled on his bed, petrified. And when asked what had happened, he only ever had one response. Robert did it.
Ah! That's so scary.
Yep. Stories of Robert moving simply meant that he was quickly banished to the attic. Servants arrived and promptly quit their jobs in quick succession. It's also claimed that the aunt had banished Robert to the attic, died the same night he was put there.
Oh, man.
Despite his banishment, the Otto family were said to hear Robert the doll moving frequently around the upstairs portion of the house, with his footsteps said to echo throughout the areas of the property that were completely empty. He was even said to giggle in the middle of the night.
No. No, ma'am.
Well, I'm going to keep going. Despite all of this, and despite his obvious fear of Robert as a child, Jean, kept Robert as he grew up into an adult. He worked as an artist and later married and kept Robert propped up in a window of his house. School children and almost anyone walking past the property would say that they often saw the doll disappear from sight before appearing again before their very eyes. Many people avoided the house entirely so that they could avoid Robert. Annette, Jean's wife, was said to detest the doll and supposedly banished him back to the attic. Naturally, Robert didn't take particularly kindly to this, and so once more placed demands on Jean, requesting the turret room of the house because, quote, he wanted a room with a view of the street.
Okay.
Keep in mind this is the doll talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jean spent all of his time in the turret room with Robert, painting and talking to his doll, until his death in 1974. The story of Jean Otto doesn't end with his death, and Robert the Doll story continues well past his demise. The legend continues even to this very day. The woman who bought Jean's house, a woman by the name of Myrtle Reuter, was Robert's caretaker.
Oh. Myrtle?
Myrtle. Where do Myrtles come from? They just appear.
They're all old ladies. They're all old ladies.
With those strawberry candies in their purse.
Oh, yes.
Well, Myrtle Reuter, which is a mouthful to say, was Robert's caretaker following the sale of the house. She corroborated with many of Eugene's stories and often found Robert in an entirely different place to where she had left him. Visitors to her new home did not like Robert and found that he'd appear and disappear at will. She and her visitors also claimed that the already creepy expression on Robert's face appeared to change when anyone discussed Jean in a negative way. In 1994, Myrtle donated Robert to the Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida, where he still resides today.
Was Myrtle okay?
Was she Myrtle fine? Was not okay. I don't know what happened to Myrtle, but Myrtle was terrified of Robert.
I would be too. This kind of reminds me of that one movie on Netflix, The Boy.
That was based off of this.
That makes sense, because this is like...
Because he has the doll?
Basically.
It's based off of the Robert the Doll story. So you'd be forgiven for thinking that perhaps being locked inside of a glass case would mean that Robert's antics are well and truly over. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. Robert's big move simply meant that the legend grew stronger and that he's exposed to more and more people. Today, he even has his own social media accounts and a Robert replica doll is sold. And if anyone loves me, you'll get me one.
No.
If we're to believe anything about voodoo, perhaps with an increased exposure to Robert, plus replicas of him being sold, again, if you love me, please get me one. The increased bad luck of visitors to the museum is simply due to the curse being spread further and further afield. I was just about to say, if you love me.
Ooh, no.
Actually,
no.
Don't get me a Robert doll. I don't want to be haunted. Also, my co-host for my show, Live Wire, is named Robert, and I can't stop thinking about Robert Sanchez haunting me.
Oh, Robert. No, Robert's too sweet to be haunting anybody.
He's so sweet. So, staff of the museum claim that Robert the doll has been found in different positions within his case, that footsteps have been heard around the museum at night with no apparent explanation for the noise, and that Robert's expression has been known to change in from a neutral to nasty in a blink of an eye. Visitors to the museum are given advice on how to approach the doll, to speak to him in a polite way, and to ask his permission to photograph him and treat him with respect. The walls of Robert's display are littered with letters from visitors apologizing for their behavior when visiting the museum. They claim that they've encountered dreadful misfortune, gotten into accidents, had relationship breakdowns, or even experienced death or disease in the family.
Just don't go. It's not that difficult.
I want to go.
No.
I want to go.
Because then you're going to be affected by all of this.
I don't care. I want to go. I want to see him. After visiting Robert and these letters that seek to ask for his forgiveness, there are over 1,000 of them in total. And the museum keeps and catalogs all of them for future reference.
That's wild.
Robert.
Wild.
Will never die.
Wild.
He's really creepy. He's
I don't really like dolls. I never did. I never liked dolls.
I'm sorry for putting the picture of him on here.
So
we're going to delete that. It just stares at you. There's no way to describe it.
I'm just a little... I've never liked dolls, ever. Neither even when I was a kid.
Like American Girl dolls, how you sit them up and their eyes just open. And then you lie them down, their eyes just close.
The only dolls that I liked were Barbies, and that was it.
I pulled the heads off of my Barbies.
I mean, we all did that to try to transfer them to other Barbies, you know, fix their hair, wash their hair,
Did
all
you
that.
Ever cover them in toothpaste and leave it to set in the freezer?
No, just me? No, definitely not.
Just me?
I would give them haircuts, though.
I gave mine haircuts. I gave mine, like, shaves. I just cut all of their hair off.
Oh,
so they were bald.
God, you're crazy.
They had little holes in their head where the hair went. Jaishna, should we do the story now?
I think we should, you know?
Keep on the creepy theme. Do you want to read it?
So, our spooky story of the
I'm
day.
I'm so excited about this story. Go. See if you can get it. Because it takes a sec.
It takes a second. It took me
a
second.
We'll give you a few moments.
We will.
And then we'll explain it. If you don't get it, we don't know because we're sitting in a radio studio and we don't know.
Yeah.
Ooh. If you want to, call in at 317-844-4570.
Shameless plug.
Heck yeah. To talk to us about creepy stories. And also, request songs. If you know any, like, spooky songs, go for it.
Please.
We need them. All we can think about is vampires.
Yeah, all I could think of was the vamps, so.
All I could think about was Vampire Weekend. All right, Jaishna, I'm so ready for the story.
It's
called When My Daughter Learned How to Count.
My daughter woke me around 11:50 last night. My wife and I had picked her up from her friend Sally's birthday party, brought her home, and put her to bed. My wife went into the bedroom to read while I fell asleep watching the Braves game. "Daddy," she whispered, tugging my shirt sleeve, "guess how old I'm going to be next month." "I don't know, beauty," I said as I slipped on my glasses. "How old?" She smiled and held up 4 fingers. "It is 7:30 now. My wife and I have been up with her for almost 8 hours. She still refuses to tell us where she got them."
And I think that's a good transition to our next song. If you didn't believe that, this song's for you. This is Unbelievers by Vampire Weekend.
Should I be?